The basic point that Rav Lichtenstein was making is a very, very subtle argument about the concept of partial tshuva. So let's go through the scheme. There's a very particular scheme. So Ilan, there are two makoros that Rav Lichtenstein is dealing with, and he sees them as very different in terms of what they represent in terms of tshuva, and they are? Just in terms of the psukim. Visvadu es chata sama sherasu, right? So that's tshuva min achet, and then there's lifnei Hashem titaru, right? Kiva yom azei chaper alechem, letaher eschem mikol chato seichem, lifnei Hashem titaru. So it's what he calls the vihisvadu and titaru dialectic. Vihisvadu, of course, you know, relates to a person trying to expiate a particular sin. It's the beginning of the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, person who violates any of the mitzvah Shabbat Torah, bin Asi, bin Losase, whatever the severity is, the kalos, the chamuros. So that's the hisvadu point. And again, to neutralize, mitigate, expiate a particular sin. And that's associated with vidui, of course, and vidui with pirut hachet, where you have to be mefaret, right? Ana chata hamazah chata gdola v'asu lahem Elohei zahav. That's one theme. And then he discusses a different theme, in quotes here Rabbeinu Yonah, that there's a separate mitzvah of tshuva of Yom Kippur, and the Rambam also has a concept of tshuva of Yom Kippur, Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva. And there's much less of a focus on vidui min achet, or just ana Hashem chatanu. That seems to be, Rav Lichtenstein says, about repairing your relationship with Hashem, titaru. And he got into a very interesting discussion about whether this could be possible in part. In other words, it would seem obvious that you could repent of a particular chait without necessarily repenting of another chait, right? You could accomplish the mitzvah of tshuva and manifest that in vidoy if a person was ochel dam, right? Hard to relate to, but a person is an ochel dam, you know, a person can repent of that sin without repenting necessarily of the fact that he's megaleich betar, on some level. Maybe not for the Ramban. The Ramban has a formulation that might make that difficult, but I think for the Rambam, the answer is yes. But can you really talk about repairing your relationship with Hashem in a partial sense? So skipping to the end here, he had a very fascinating comment of the Rav based on the Chavos Yoyer, which was... Good. So there are two different rashos in that last Mishnah on Yoma. The last of the last is Rabbi Akiva says, "Shreichem Yisrael ifnei miatem tarin le'avicham shebashamayim shenemar mikveh Yisrael Hashem." And immediately before that, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah is saying, based on the pasuk, "Kiva yom hazeh yechaper leichem v'tarayeschem mikol chatoseichem le'Hashem titaru." Only ifnei Hashem titaru. It only works for averos. Bin Adam Lamakum. So what was the Chavos Yair's Heara, Yenison? So the Rav was quoting.
It's really that we're...
Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. A mikveh only works where there's no chatzitza. The kapara of Bin Adam Lamakum is taloi on the kapara of Bin Adam L'chavero. If you have anything that gets in the way of the relationship, it really is li'ikuba. And that's the idea that, you know, you would initially think that in terms of repairing your relationship with Hashem, there may not be any meaningful way to say, I partially repaired my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You either repair it or you don't. So that was the initial assumption. So Rav Lichtenstein was using that then as a way of trying to get at a very, very, very subtle point, which is that maybe it actually is possible, here he's departing a little bit from the Rav's model, to talk about repairing your relationship with Hashem in part, but he makes it al tanai. What's the tanai that Rav Lichtenstein essentially introduces? Shimi?
If you're on the path, you fall to
exactly. So you can't basically say, my aspiration is to partially repair my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Your aspiration is to totally repair your relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, but, you know, lemasa, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, you know, you have limited, you know, energy and limited, you know, kochos, and there's only so much you can accomplish right now. So Rav Lichtenstein is open to that as a possibility. It's actually a very, you know, optimistic kind of a thing. And he uses as a model for this idea, what analog? Very good. So there's a Mishnah you have it here in the fifth source, right? Rabbi Yosai, Rabbi Yana, Mishum, Meir Omer, Kosher Chech, Davar Echad Mishnah, So Malav Vakasav Kilo Mischay Vinav. So Shneimar, Hisham Lachal Shmonashcha Meod, Pentishka Chazadvar Masheroi Nechof and Yasur Melavcha. So the Mishnah says, well, let's say it's just too much for you to hold on to everything. So Yachol Takva Lav Mishnah, So Talmud Lomar Ufan Yasur Melavcha. You're not chayev ad sheyeshe v'yisireim milibo, until you've really actively expunged them from your heart. So Rabbeinu Yonah had an incredible comment here that became the basis, I think, of Rav Lichtenstein's approach of tshuva. What was Rabbeinu Yonah, Ilan?
The comment says you're removing it from your heart, even
exactly. The omission of chazara is really a commission. It's considered an active form of shechacha, which is not obvious. But it really reflects the idea, here you have it inside, right? Ki ashechacha mitzuya bivnei adam, hayelo lachzor alocha harbe pamim lachshu b'kol yom v'chol laila ad shlo sucha lasur milibo. Mikey, we're just talking about this, you know, until the point where you just, it would be impossible to forget it. So then what is the category of takva lav mishnah? So he limits it to a zaken or somebody who's an ones, whatever it is, somebody like, you know, who's just, you know, has some almost medical condition that would make it too difficult for him to know. But basically, you know, you have to value this above all things, and that's the model here. Now, Rav Lichtenstein did not adduce these sources in this particular context, but there's a lot of evidence, as far as I'm concerned, in Sefer Dvarim, that this is really true. This idea that, you know, tshuva has to be a process where a person is fully invested. Let me just try to demonstrate this by citing from both the beginning and the end of Sefer Dvarim. So the first parsha of Tshuva and Dvarim is actually the laning for Tisha B'Av. Gave its title to one of the Rav's classical essays, Vikashna Misham. So the Torah says the following. Okay, Avi, go ahead. Ki solid banim uvnei vanim. Okay, so what's my diuk, obviously? That only works if a person, you know, is entirely committed, you know, to this process. Likewise, take a look at the end of Sefer Dvarim. That expression, b'chol v'avcha v'chol nafshecha, appears no fewer than three times in the classical parshas of tshuva. Admittedly, this is the Ramban's makor for tshuva, you know, ki ha-mitzvah so, shesher anochi mitzvah avcha yom, right? But there's no denying that the subject here is tshuva, v'shavtar Hashem elkecha v'shamata b'kolo, b'chol v'avcha v'chol nafshecha, and then again, u'mal Hashem elkecha s'vavcha, b'chol v'avcha v'chol nafshecha. For the Ramban, that's the Yemos HaMashiach issue. But again, Kipshuta, we're just dealing here with, right. Yeah. And then finally, Ki Tishma B'Kol HaShem Mekach, Shor Tzav is Chuk Osav, K'su Abba Sevra Tzor Azeh, Ki Tashum HaShem Mekach, B'Chol Avcha, U'B'Chol Nafshach. Right, so it would appear that, you know, there's a lot of evidence in Torah Shebichsav, and this is really what's required for, you know, the purposes of tshuva. A person can't go in and say, you know, I'm 70% motivated and expect to get anything out of it, right? But if a person is fully motivated, but in practice, you know, they're only able to accomplish areas A, B, and C this year, or areas X, Y, and Z this year, but they're fully, fully motivated to repair the relationship with Hashem, so Rav Lichtenstein thought the relationship actually could be said to be repaired, even if, in a practical sense, there are still, let's call it, avisam vihisvadu, gaps, right? You haven't fully corrected all of your behavior, but that's clearly what your motivation is. Mashal l'mahadav erdome. Mashal l'mahadav erdome. We've spoken a lot of times in our discussions of tshuva regarding the idea of, you know, recreating oneself. And starting the first machshav ashir of the year with the Rav and tshuvas ke'ula. No one pointed out at the time that maybe you don't even need to wait to Perek Zion. You could even have Perek Beis. No, go ahead, just remind us. the Ishacher, right? So that's the and Mishana Makom and Mishana Masim and Sa'aka and Tshuva, all these things. It's like an identity issue. So who's the paradigm in Halacha of a newborn individual? Levi? Ger, right. So the Gemara Bechoros puts a T'nai in the Tahalich of Giyur, namely that what do you have to do? Go ahead. Right, right. We certainly have to go to the mikvah. So there's tefillah mikvah and kabbalas ol mitzvos. And how do we define kabbalas ol mitzvos? So this is a favorite theme of mine. Bechoros, daf lamed, the Gemara says that a person has to be mekabel kol haTorah, and a person who wants to be megayer chutz midaver echad afilu diktuk echad midiktuk sofrim eino ger. So what does this mean exactly? And what does it really mean? So, the way that... Yehuda, go ahead. No question about it, right?
Therefore, you have to be late or late or insane. You have to be doing
a right. Right. Right, okay, so you hit on the critical points here, which is that there are certain areas, Reb Chaim Ozer is a famous tshuva, that as far as Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taharas HaMishpacha is concerned, one has to be fully, fully observant at the moment of Giyur. But when it comes to other areas...
This is not crazy.
Go ahead, Levi.
If someone calls the next day and it does a veira, that's just part of Is that because he rejects part of the
Right, yeah. What the Gemara is saying is that a person who wants to megayer chutz midaver echad means he says, I'm an ideological opponent of shatnez. I'm willing to keep Rabbeinu Tam's manim and Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin and the Chazon Ish shir by matzah, but I'm an ideological opponent of shatnez. And for that matter, I refuse to daven ma'ariv, right? Not even the deraisa, maybe not even the derabanan, the minag. Right, so that person who's stating is theologically, opposed to these practices or a practice is not a candidate for Giyur. But you have a person who's totally committed, but says, "I may not be yet fully, fully ready to, integrate all of the pratim of Lashon Hara." Right, kivyachol that. We all, we're nizhar in that area. The Rambam, at the end of Perek Dalet of Vilchos Tshuva, when he talks about, five things that are really hard to get out of, the first one on the list is Lashon Hara, the second one is Rechilas, maybe the other way around, I don't remember what the order of the two is. The point is that, that person is 100% a ger, right? But we all then have a lifetime struggle to have Nikias HaLashon and Taras HaLashon, etc. So I think it's a gufa, the same chakira. A person has to be b'chol avcha b'chol nafshecha, in concept, to be a ger, to be a shav, to be a baal tshuva, but that will establish a new relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yadid va'ahu v'nechma in the context of baal tshuva, the context of a ger katan anola dami, and at the same time, it may be that in the level of practice that one isn't 100%. Where one wishes to be. Okay, so that was the fundamental idea. We got that across. Ilan, Yehuda, and then Rami. Let's get you onto ledger. And then I wanted to try to build off this Mahalich to explain what I think is a relatively difficult Gemara, Machlokas Tanaim, with an associated Machlokas Rishonim. Right, so Mumar Latayavan is a good example where a person is unable to, get a hold of themselves as of yet. Rav Lichtenstein dealt with this a little bit in the article in terms of Mumar Lechol Chela versus Dam. So you can't really bring a korban for that area because we can't look at him within that area as somebody who's doing things v'shogeg. It's not a total Zevach Rashaim To'eva kind of a thing. For other areas, he's fully a Jew in good standing, unless he's a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah, L'Chal Shabbos B'far Hesya, in which case that undermines his entire relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yeah, Yehuda, and then Rami.
There's no applications to Halacha. There's no practical applications for Halacha nowadays, especially in regards to the gear of LGBT people, because you could say, based on this theory of religion, that it would be usher to be in the sky or something like that, because we know for a fact that they are a complete ideological opponent of Vayikra Chavka Gimel.
Well, we can't generalize about that entire population. There could be somebody who says, I fully accept what the Torah says in Parshas Achrimos, when the Torah says in Parshas Kedoshim, I fully accept it theologically, but I can't guarantee that I'm never going to commit an Aveira in the future. That's very different, right? You can't generalize about an entire population. There's people there, if a person comes and says, I don't accept this as an Isser, then forget about it. That's an Isser Skila, as opposed to, Diktuk Echad Mitiktuke Sofrim, right? Your person says, I'm an ideological opponent of, eating in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, we can't be Megayer them.
Also,
Diktuk Echad Mitiktuke Sofrim, right? So, there's a difference, but I thought what you were saying was something a little bit more subtle. And that what you were saying is very important in the sense that, let's say you have somebody who says, I'm fully on board ideologically, theologically, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to be fully consistent. So that gets back to Reb Chaim Moser's issue. Does it fall within these three areas? Right? So that's a very important question.
And also another thing would be, there's also an issue with Gabriel from the Reform community marrying Orthodox Christians if they become, because if they become
that would not be a complicated question. We would just have them undergo the process of giur again. But we would look at the person and say, yeah, the person consider themselves Jewish. Halachically speaking, of course, there's work that we need to do to actually make that a reality. But that would be that's a much more straightforward case. That I think is totally independent of this analysis. Rami and then Akiva.
I really understand how Rabbi Yonah ties into Rabbi
Yonah's issue. So again, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is if a person is not sufficiently motivated to do everything within their power to try to retain everything of Torah, then that's not considered tukfal of Mishnaso. That's considered actively removing it from your heart. So what Rav Lichtenstein is saying is, if a person is only 60% motivated to repair their relationship with God, you wouldn't say they repaired their relationship with God 60%. You'd say they did it 0%. That's the Rav and the Chavos Yai, or Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. There's still a chatzitza. A person is 100% motivated, but in practice can only get 60% of the way there. They've got 100 areas they've got to repair. And this year they can only repair 60 of them. I mean, that'd be an amazing thing. But they're totally committed to this process. You can say that they achieved titaru. Not in the fullest sense of the term, but on some level. Akiva.
In Yehuda's case, take an LGBT person.
Yeah.
He now says, there's something I struggle with, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to keep up with this. Would that be considered aiming for total tshuva? I feel like that person has to come and say, this is something that eventually I'm going to be able to stop, or I'm going to do my best to stop.
If they're not, I wasn't suggesting that they are not observant right now. That would, of course, be a problem. The question is, somebody who says, and it doesn't even have to be that issue. I think Lashon Hara is a more neutral example.
Sure.
Say, I'm totally committed to doing the right thing, but every now and again I slip up. We wouldn't say that somebody couldn't be Megayer under those circumstances. That's not what the Gemara meant when it says, chutz midavar echad. Midavar echad means, are you totally committed to the system? And a person say, I am 100% committed to the system, but I'm not absolutely certain, given where I am right now, that I'll be able to, keep the extremely rigorous laws of Lashon Hara, 100% of the time. That person is, a Ger Tzedek. And then, like the rest of us, it's incumbent upon him or her to do everything in their power to comply. But we wouldn't, look at that person somehow and say, but you can't guarantee that in practice you'll never, speak Lashon Hara again. That's it. I mean, there would never be another Ger. Your ideological commitment. Okay. Thank you. That's going to be your job from now on.
Hold a mirror. I see. Let's say, most of us are like a lot of things that we're like working on. It's not just like one thing. So sometimes it's more realistic to say, like, I'm fully committed to like eventually having my relationship fully repaired with Hashem, but
That's where Rav Lichtenstein would say, no, you have to be 100%. Your goal has to be, there should be no chatzitzos. So you have to say, you know, I absolutely want to repair this and buy into the whole system. I know for myself that I can only do five things right now. That's an acceptable approach. That could get you not just the hisvadu and those five things, but to use his language, titaru, you know, to a point. You're not going to experience the full titaru, probably, you know, until, you know, you can make it all the way there. But, you know, you've removed the chatzitza in the sense that you've said, I'm not interested in holding on to any of these chatzitzas. You know, if I could use a halachic analogy, something is only chatzitza if it's rov and makbid, right? So if a person says, you know, I'm not makbid, so then it's not a chatzitza. Okay, so I do want to just make, one point in, and then I saw two more questions, but I just wanted to try to tie Rav Lichtenstein's chakira here, before we totally run out of time, to a very important issue in Yuma. This will just be the transition point. So, Ilan, why don't you read the Gemara for us? This is Pei Vav Amud Beis, Tanur Rabbanan.
This is
a
Gemara in Yuma?
Yeah. Averos, Sheisvad Alem Yom HaKippurim Zeh, right. V'im shina bahen, but of course if you sinned in the past year, you know, you did vidoy and lashon hara and tafshin ayin tests, and lo and behold, it so happened that at one point in tafshin yom kippur tafshin ayin tests, at one point throughout the year, you spoke lashon hara, so, you know, you gotta do vidoy again, okay? Tzarech lisvados, yom akivrim acher. V'lo shina bahen, v'chazer visvadaleim, alav akasav omer, Be'ivalto, right? It's like a dog who is rolling in his own excrement, okay? Which is not a compliment. So that once a person has been misvade, right? And they've actually, you know, not repeated the sin, so there's no need to go back there and to continue to roll around in your own spiritual defecation. Okay. That's a very big chiddush. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, we almost always paskin like him, right? Mishnasos Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov kavinoki. So he's saying how wonderful it is. Kol shekein areza mishubach. So he seems to think that this is like maybe even better form of vidoy than the vidoy you do for sins that, you know, you have to do vidoy for. So like, what is all this about? So skip ahead to the tour for a second. Fourth source. David, go ahead. Avono shisvadan biyom akipurim sha'avar v'lo shina aleihem. Kasav ritz geyes. So his position is that you shouldn't be misvada, right? Like the chachamim against Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, l'chora. Eliyim ganav o'gazal v'isvada leihem b'shana sha'avar. Ganavti, that shouldn't be part of your bidua. You should just say ga'alti bidrachi. You don't want to say ganavti when really you're going back to spiritual filth of the past that's already been cleansed. Okay, but if you're the Shliach Tzibra, don't worry. This is a funny line, maybe not so funny. Okay. It's got to be at least one. Okay? V'adoni Avizal, the Rosh, held, Kasev, Sheyachol Yisvados Aleihem. Right, so this big question is, where did the Rosh really say this? Because he just actually quotes the entire Gemara, but there's a presumption again that he Mishnas Rav Lezer ben Yaakov Kavanaki, so he accepts Rav Lezer ben Yaakov's view, but he understood Rav Lezer ben Yaakov to be saying Kol Shekein Areza Mishubach, but it's not absolutely required. So what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Ritz Geyes and, if you will, the Rosh, you know, and maybe between Rav Lezer ben Yaakov and the Chachamim? So Rashi takes a particular approach, which I'm actually going to try to, you know, develop an alternative. But let's see Rashi. Noam, go ahead. V'chatasi negdi tamid. That was after all the pasuk that was cited. Kif sha'ay aniyeda v'chatasi negdi tamid. Rashi says, it's a little obsessive, right? That I don't really believe that you provided kapara, even though I did vidui and tshuva and everything that I was supposed to do. I'm just a little nervous, so I'm doing it for insurance purposes. So Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says, you know, for insurance purposes, this is a good thing. And that Reb Elazar ben Yaakov isn't really being mechadesh anything about the tsuras havidua. He's not saying that there's a different modality of vidua here. He's just saying, you know, Hashem, I'm so worried about this chet, v'chatasi avi negdi tami, that I'm still so worried about it, I might as well do vidua again, even though it's in the past. So Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says, maybe, according to Rashi, kol shekhen erezer meshubach, because it really shows that the person is, you know, he's what my grandmother would call, you know, Myra. He's frightened. He's trepidation of what it was that he did, and he's just not sure, you know, on the level of his vadu, whether he really got kapara. Now, the Rambam, I think, disagreed with Rashi's interpretation of Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. So let's take a look at the Rambam, and then maybe we can develop an idea. Daniel, go ahead. Havidoi shenagu bo kol Yisrael aval anachnu chatanu. That was Rav Lichtenstein's makor for the vidui of Titaru. Okay. Mehu ikar vidui. Right. So the Rambam, afal pi shu omed b'tshuvaso, makes it very clear that the situation is... Right, that the tshuva is completed. It doesn't seem like the person is trying to expiate a particular sin. For Rashi, it's that the person's just not sure. You know, better be on the safe side. Maybe Hashem is still holding it against me, right? Uviyom pakadati, you know, ufakadati aleichem chataschem. You know, the Egel Azav. Yeah. So, anybody want to make a suggestion as to what the pshat is? Or maybe Shitas HaRambam, what Reb Elazar ben Yaakov might be saying?
Well, just a question in the Rambam. He's talking about
Averos,
whether you repeated them or not.
Averos Shizvadam Yomigirim Zeh, Choser Mizvadam Yomigirim Zeh,
whether you repeated them or not.
No, Afal Pishu Omid B'Tshuvasa, meaning he's talking about Davka Loshin Abaham. You haven't, right? It's Davka, very clear. So what's one way to explain this? Okay, Levi, go ahead. How can we use the chakira that we developed earlier to be miyashiv this machlokas? I'm trying to build off of Lichtenstein.
Because it's
going to
be like, because you still have to recognize that this was an impediment towards your overall
Okay, so maybe what's really going on here is in the kutas ha-machlokas between the chachamim, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and apparently also between Rashi and the Rambam, is what exactly is this vidui achieving? Right? So the Chachamim said, why in the world would you engage in vidui min ha-chayt if you already stopped doing that chayt? It doesn't make any sense. And Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and I think this is where Rashi maybe didn't fully understand what Reb Elazar ben Yaakov was saying, right? It's not that you're nervous that, you know, Hashem wasn't mechaper you for this, but you've moved on. And the vidui here is not the vidui of trying to neutralize or mitigate a particular chet. The vidui here is saying, now that that chet is neutralized, I still have to think about, you know, what is my relationship with Hashem? So granted, I've abandoned that sin, and that's very positive. But on the contrary, the more that you've really abandoned that sin, this is the ironic part, but the most important part, the further a person is removed from ever doing that sin again, the more they appreciate how it impacted their relationship with God. A person abuses his wife, chas v'shalom, and he really gets therapy and treatment. And the further he removes himself away from that chet, the more years have passed, the greater the sense of how terrible it was and what that did to their relationship. And he can't believe that he would have done such a thing. So does he need to do vidui, you know, al ha-chet in the sense of neutralizing the sin? No. But is his sense of the impact of this on the relationship that much stronger? For sure. And I think that's the whole point. Of Kol Shekhen HaRezeh Meshubach, what Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is saying is that's the higher level of vidui. It's not a vidui you're just trying to mitigate a chet, but it's a vidui that relates to your overall relationship with Hashem. After all, this gufa is in that particular halach in the Rambam where there isn't the pirut ha-chet for vidui, but it really is directed you know, to the relationship itself. So I wanted to try to bring a raya for my yishuv of this machlokes rishonim and my understanding of it, you know, contra Rashi, based on the actual source. So it's from Tehillim Mizmor Nun Aleph, which is all about David's tshuva from the Chet of Bat Sheva. So let's take a look, and you'll tell me what the clear theme of the Mizmor is. So David HaMelech, Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael, really, you know, may have been the first one to this issue. Eitan, go ahead. Lamatzeach Mizmor David. B'voy Elav Natan Navi. Kasher Ba'al Bat Sheva. Herev Kabzeni Mi'avoni. So Kabzeni Mi'avoni means cleanse me of my sin, right? Umechatasi ki pshaya nieda vezov etar tafkaseni shalad albin haser panach mechatai v'cholavat masayk leiv tahor What's the theme? Leiv tahor brali elokim ruach nachon chadish bekirbi al tashlichini milfanecha. What's the obvious theme of this mizmor? The relationship with Hashem, right? David HaMelech is contemplating the impact this sin has on the overall relationship, right? It's not an accident that the language of Tara comes up many, many times. It's not just Kabseni Miavoni, but it's Tahareni, Techateni Vezo Vetar, Lev Tahor, Birali Elokim, right? Zivche Elokim, it concludes Ruach Nishbara. Lev nishbar v'nidke alokim lo sivzeh, in a sense of, you know, the broken spirit in terms of having, you know, distanced himself from Hashem and the tchina of al tashlicheni milfanecha. So it seems that the pasuk that Reb Lezer ben Yaakov chose was a very well-calibrated pasuk to make this point. Kiv shaya ini adav v'chatasi negdi tamid. Doesn't sound like David HaMelech is, you know, tintering, you know, I don't know, Hashem, are you really going to forgive me for the chait? What he's concerned about, you know, is the impact on the relationship. It comes immediately after the words chatasi tahareni, and before techateni ve'ezov etar. Right, it's about the purification. Lev tahor brali elokim, give me a new relationship with you. Ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi. So it could very well be that the nekudas hamachlokes between Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim is what that vidoy would achieve. The Chachamim couldn't understand it because they're saying, why would you do vidoy if you've already returned from the chait? They're operating in what we would call a v'hisvadu mode. But if you're operating in a titharu mode, so there's a whole new impetus for the vidoy. Because the vidoy is no longer directed to try to neutralize the sin, but you have a deeper and a more, ironically, the further you are away from the actual sin, the greater your appreciation is for how it impacted the relationship. The closer you are to the sin, even if you already regret it, right, the less of an understanding of you have of it takes years sometimes to begin to appreciate the impact something could have had, you know, on a relationship. That's, you know, people go to, you know, years of treatment for the kinds of things that I was alluding to before. The more distant you are from it, the more important it is to have a vidui, but not in the sense of pirat hachet, but in the sense of, you know, tahareni, lifnei Hashem, titaharu, kif sha'aya ni'eda, now I recognize, I understand my pesha in a completely new way, v'chatasi negdi tamir, I have a different level of understanding of how this impacted the overall relationship. That's how I'd like to explain the machlokes rishonim, Ritzkeis versus the Rush, and the Rambam, and particularly Rishitas HaRambam, afal pishu omed b'tshuvaso. Right, there's no question here in terms of recidivate offense, where we're absolutely sure the person isn't engaged in the sin, but it's a tshuva, and it's a vidoy that's directed to the relationship itself. Anachnu chatanu, again, not so much mitigation of the chet. Yehuda.